Today's perek in Nach is Shmuel Aleph, perek Beit. And so yesterday we saw the beginnings, the stirrings, one could say, of Malchut in the acts of Elkanah, in what it was that Shmuel was supposed to represent, and in the recreation of the youth that had long been missing throughout the years of the times of the Shoftim. And this transition was clearly a setup. In other words, what happens is that Eli immediately picks up the fact that Shmuel is dangerous, picks it up as he's there as a little child. Chana asks him to take him nonetheless, and to recognize that this is from Hashem, and that he belongs to Hashem, and that Eli has to take him under his wings, despite the fact that it's already clear that Eli is finished, and that the next step is going to be Shmuel. And that's what actually happens in the course of today's perek. So that from the very beginning, the time of the Shoftim is coming to an end. And if we look further into it, it's remarkable in that this transition is a transition in Shevet Levi. It's not just a transition. And that what's actually happening is that the two stories of Levim from Bnei Ephraim are now the third story of a Levi from Ephraim. And that Levi is now coming from Bnei Kerah, particularly, who themselves were married against the original vision of the Leviah, as it's now in the hands of Aaron and Moshe. So that the boy that's being brought is seen by her the way that Bnei Kerah had actually seen it. And that's the Moshe Aaron the Kohanav, Ushmuel the Koresh Shimon. We're going to see that Elkanah, who was Isaac the entire time in the recreation of Aliyah L'Regel, was a Navi. And was a Navi that specifically was sent to Eli to inform Eli of the coming destruction of his own house. So that what's happening is that just as there has been a Birur, in other words, been a refinement after refinement after refinement of the various Shvatim, a refinement that began basically in an entire genetic program from Maisa Bereishis, which all Bnei Adam were open initially to becoming Yisrael, in which Avram Avinu is Zeuche, we have the Asar Deres, we have another Asar Deres, one member carrying the essential gene of Adam to be left now in Terach, out of whom comes Avram and the other children that need to be reabsorbed by Avram. The elements of Avram that have to be gone to waste, which is the Yishmael and the next generation, it's Esav. But the same thing happens in Mitzrayim, and that's Pesel Micha. Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe the people that are left in Mitzrayim are meant to be left in Mitzrayim. And that's Bimei HaChoshech, the death of the Rishayim. Bimei HaChoshech, the fact that this was a Kura Barzel, that it was a smelting furnace, and the idea of taking people out prematurely, which is your idea, is dangerous. And that this entire process is not an easy process. It's a process of din, in which we're being mevar that which is suitable for building the Malchus, the ultimate Malchus of Yisrael. During the 300 years of the Tkufas HaShoftim plus, it's already, at the time already of the argument with Ammon, he was saying it was 300 years from the inheritance of the territory of Moab. So during all of those years, what we have is essentially Birurim. What happened at the end, not perhaps chronologically, but in the Sefer, is the Birur of Shevet Binyamin, of those that would be around to establish the first Malchus, which is going to be taking place here through Shmuel. So that means a Birur in Shevet Levi, in which originally Eli and his children represented the heights of Levi, as we're going to see. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind the Chatchila to be Mizake, the Eli family, with the Keter Kehuna. So that they would be the ones that would always be the Kohanim Gadol. Remarkable thing. We're going to see. And it becomes Eviatar in the end. But that is rejected, and instead, unbelievably, it's the Bnei Kerach that end up being the ones that really defeat that. And this, all of this Chana has in mind, and we're going to see today, that from the song that Chana sings, from the Tfilah that Chana is mitpalel, we already learned all the dinim of Tfilah for Chana. Now we have a Shira, which is called Vatitpalel Chana, and in it, she exposes her plans for the Malchus, so that she recognizes, from here the Gemara brings a raya, that Chana is one of the Neviot, and that she clearly has a vision of what her son is going to be accomplishing, and which is going to fail, and which is going to succeed. Vatitpalel Chana vatoma. And so Chana prays to Hashem, and she says, and this is at the moment of victory. This is a victory that takes place over years, because we're going to see that she has additional children through the bracha of Eli, and that with each one of the children that are born, two children die to Penina. Until finally, Penina throws herself down on the ground as she becomes pregnant with her last child, Chana, and begs her to forgive her. So that she comes out with a sense of immense vindication and turnaround in her life. She was the one who had brought in Penina, after all, according to Chazal. And she's the one in the end who is recognized as the Ikra Habayit, not the Akeret Habayit. And so she says, Alatz libi badunai. It's My heart now rejoices in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rama karni badunai. Karen, of course, is a word that doesn't have a clear-cut English. We don't have a sense of Karen. Maybe my race, my shine, my identity, my selfhood, my power, my personal empowerment is really what a Karen is. In English, it comes across as a very strange kind of word. You know, we use it as a sexual thing. Somebody's horny. So the idea over there is that his Karen is always seen as something bad in which he's hurting other people. But the Karen, the actual Karen aspect of a human being is that which gives him his personal power and ability to act in the world. The Chazal, was that? No, it's more than a continent. Yeah, no, it does have elements of aura because we use it for carne aura. It's the same. That's the, you know, the famous mistake in the Moses statue. But that's the Karen. And it's here that Chazal immediately pick up. The use of that word is what shows us the depth of her planning. And by the way, it's clear that it's not used casually. Because at the end of her tefillah, she talks about that word, particularly to make it clear. So what Chazal pick up on is Rama Karni v'lo Rama Pachi, which means that there is going to be two separate mishichot of Melachim, and a Karen becomes now, and that's the Yorim Karen Mishichot. So the Karen becomes the way in which the Mashiach Hashem is actually made into a Melech. But Shaul was not made into a Melech with a Karen. He was made into a Melech with a Pach Shemen. And therefore she's being medayeket. My child Shmuel, that was here mekubal into the Mishkan, and is now going to be the leader of Yisrael, will succeed with what he does with the Karen. That's my Karen. I mean, she attributes the whole thing to herself. It was all her tefillah, it was all her nether, it was all her demands, it was all her handling with Eli. Obviously, legally, that doesn't seem to have any impact unless Elkanah would go along with it. I mean, where do we have a din that a woman can be madirat benav neder benazir? We don't have such a law. And if a Baal wants to be made for Nidra, he's to be made for. But the point is that she is the leading visionary here. So she sees that the Karen that is going to be the Karen of David will in fact be successful. The Pach, which will be the Malchus of Shaul, will not be successful. Rachav pi al oivai. I can now open my mouth wide in the face of my enemies, or even worse, I can gloat, which is not a nice lashon. We don't have to take it that far. Ki samachti bishuasecha, because I have been made so happy in the tzorah that you've given me, you took that away from me and gave me a child. In kadosh kadonai ki in biltecha. There is in biltecha, the way that the Gemara puts it, in levalotecha. There's nothing normally when a boser of Adam creates something. Her whole tefillah is to bring out the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation and asiyah, the toch of bria, and the way that human beings always need to make plans and mechanically attempt to make things happen, and the mechanics always break down. So when a human being makes something, that which he makes survives him. But with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in biltecha, the Gemara is betayek, in levalotecha. Nothing outlives you. In other words, it's basically all things are just expressions of the various elements of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashpah in the world. The Ein Tzur Keloheinu, therefore we read as Ein Tzayar Keloheinu. You take a look at a human being who attempts to make a picture, when he attempts to be creative. How deep can his creativity go? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates, that which he creates, creates. Yeah, that's the Gemara. Al tarbu tidabru gvoa gvoa. You can stop speaking with your high and mighty words, all of you who think you have it all worked out. So she speaks this to not only to her oyvim, but to people in general. Don't have the chutzpah to allow arrogance to leave your lips. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu includes all thoughts, all machshavot. And according to him, are all acts, alilot, in the simple sense of act, would mean nitkenu. Can we say that any act has meaning? So it's nachon. But there's a different sense over here. V'lo nitkenu alilot. If you're talking about the planning that a human being plans, that's rabata alilal b'nei ha'adam. Life always is greater than your plans. Always. So no matter what your plans are, the real tichnut, we use the word in the sense of programming, the real programming in the universe, it's his. And all of those plans are coming from his programs, not yours. So stop fooling yourself. Keshet giborim. You've got all your fancy weapons. All you heroes, you know what your weapons are worth? Chatim. That's all that it is. It's simply that which destroys, which breaks, into shatters into pieces. So it's broken. It's meaningless. V'nichshalim, and those that you laughed at, the weak ones, they're the ones that end up. In the end, the Azruchaya. They are wrapped in power. Sveim balechem niskaru. This can be read in two ways. Sveim balechem, those who are already savuah, get additional sechar. That would be a reference now to herself, that she had that first child, and then we'll see she was given so many additional children. Or it could be a reference to the imos, that once they got one child, they're given. Or it could be sveim belechem niskoru, that even those who were once high and mighty end up needing to hire themselves out to be able to afford bread. Or evim chadelu, those who were hungry, they no longer hunger. It could even get to a point where the one who was sterile herself would have seven children, and the one who was overrun with children is left with nothing. Amazingly, the Gemara brings Raya from here that B'nai Kerach, that Adas Kerach has a chelek in Olam Haba, because she says Hashem Memitu Mechayeh, which is fantastic. Because it means that it's all part of her vision, is to restore the Keach of Kerach exactly. I mean, it's amazing, because but that's what she sets out to be metakenet. Korach is hairless, and on her child is Mora Loyavar Rosho. So she sets out essentially to replace the Keach of Shevet Levi. We'll see how powerful this is later on in the parak, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a message to Beit Eli. So from here we see, Hashem is Memitu Mechayeh. He may take you down to hell like he did with Kerach, but Vayal brings you back up again to be Metakin. Adonai Morish Uma'ashir Mashpil Af Meromem. Yes, that's the whole point. That's what we spoke about yesterday. It's triumphant, but it's meant to be triumphant as ultimate triumph of Mashiach, as we'll see. That's, this is where we say Vayarim Keren Mashiacho. This is basically the core of the as she is now, sees him accepted in the kuna. But for my she's making Ramazan here either b'derech nevius or because she already resorted to it to the many children that she has. So Hashem can make. Can impoverish people and enrich them, and drag them down and lift them up. Mekim Yafar Dal takes the poorest out of the dust and lifts him up. From the very ashpot, from the very dung heaps, Yorim Evion. Lo Shivim the Divin, Vikisei Kavod Yam Chileim, and give them the seat of honor. Ki Ladunai Mitsukei Aretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the one that chooses that which the earth stands on. The very rocks of the earth, the granite of the earth. Vayashat alayim tevel, these are the simple people that you thought were nothing. And he makes the entire world dependent upon them. Raglei chasidav yishmor urshaim b'choshech yidamu. And so those who follow him and who are his chasidim, though they may go through hell, he ends up watching over them. But those who shayim, they all die during the Yemei HaChoshech, and they drop during the darkness. None of the plans, none of the mechanics, none of the power ends up giving you what it is that you dreamt of. Adonai yechatum erivav. Alav b'shamayim yar'im. Adonai yadinav se'aretz. So this has been about my enemies. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's enemies, he causes them nothing but paralyzing fear, breaking them up in the shamayim, and in the end bringing din on the very furthermost reaches of the earth. V'yitin oz l'malko. He will give that ultimate power to the one that he is mamlich, the Arim Karen Mishicha. So it's clear that she is talking about Karen, she knows exactly what she's talking about. There's a constant refrain here, which now, looking back, we can understand that the book that is meant to be the book of transition to Malchus and the creation of the Malchus, right out front states that that's what it's all about. And that the mother who had a dream had that dream. And that the father was involved in creating that. Although he did it very, very, very casually and without making a big ideal about it, effectively changed gradually the way that people perceived what would be possible. And so the end of the Shoftim begins right now after this. Vayelech Elkanah Ramat El Beito. Elkanah goes back to Ramah, leaving behind Hanar. Yanar Hayam Isharetet Adonai Et Bnei Eli HaKohen.
Two.
This was after she finished Gimalato. And now in direct contrast, as if to show that that's what it's all about, leaving behind a boy who would be Misharis Hashem, Uvnei Eli B'nei V'liyah. But Eli's children were no good. You notice even a play on words, B'nei Eli B'liyah. So that Eli, in a sense, means the effective, efficient one. And these are the ones, B'liyah, who have no redeeming elements to them. Lo yadu'u et Adonai. They were not close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They simply took advantage of their position. Contrast. This is the way that they would act, is that anybody who came in and brought a carbon shalom, would come now, the boy of the Kohanim, which people would refer even to the Bnei Eli as boys in a rotten sense, meaning it's not being choshev, we'll see later. So that this would be the contrast to the Na'ar that was Misharet at Hashem. Where over there it's Yoshua Na'ar, lo yamush mi'ha'ol. That over there the Na'arut of Yoshua, which was lost as Yoshua became a Zakein, is now restored for the first time by a true Na'ar. And these Na'arei HaKohanim did nothing but ruin things. They would walk around as people were preparing the basar of the Zevach. They put it now into a pot. And they would come along with this very big fork to take whatever they wanted, instead of simply taking the Chozev HaShok, which was what, the Mona HaKohanim. V'kova kior, or badut, or bakalachat, or baparur. He would simply stick this big fork now into whatever it was that they had put the meat into, whether it's a kettle, or it's a big pot, or it's a serving container. Kol asher ya'alem azegif yikach. Whatever the fork would break up, whatever piece, he wasn't marked, but he just wanted meat. Yikach ha'kohen, but that would be what the kohen would take. Kacha yasur l'cho Yisrael ha'ba'im shem b'shilo, that's what they would do to everybody. Gam b'terem yakfirin tachelet. Even though you only have a right to take the chazav ashok after the akrava zeymur first, that's matir the chazav ashok to kohanim. Uba nara kohen. So the boy would come, v'amar le'ish. He would say, give me the basar, so that the kohen can now barbecue it for himself. Kohen doesn't want your lousy cooking. He wants the meat now. And people would say, for God's sake, you want, fine, I'll give you whatever you want, but at least do it right. Let first bring the chalev on the mizbeah. There's such a slob that you look at your basar kachim, like basar ta'aveh. You notice the way they use kasher ta'aveh nafshach. It's all about your wants. Fine, you want to treat it like basar ta'aveh. That's only after you were zochet to it b'shulchan gavoa. Oh, you weren't zochet to it yet. The chalev hasn't been brought. Either you give it to me now, or I'm going to take it by force. This was a horrific fate of the boys. Now this already is a reference back to Anashim. Where did we have those words before? Moshe Rabbeinu talking about Adas Korach. Ki niyatzu ha'anashim ha'eila et Hashem. You think you're arguing with me? Bring minayetz HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about me and Kera. This is about your being mavaza, the nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's choice. So it all goes back to the rebellion of Kerach against Moshe. V'shmuel, Shmuel meanwhile, misharet et Bnei Adonai. Again, we contrast it, beginning and end, with the story of Bnei Eli in the middle. And here he is, a nar, chagur efod bad. He himself is dressed as the ephod that the Kohen Gadol would wear, but of course not with Zav Tchelas Agaman Talashani, but rather a beged of chashivus. And that was the way that David also walked around. It says that he also would walk around with an ephod, because as Rashi says, it's a lashon of a type of apron that Sorim would wear. It's the dark of nobility to wear that kind of thing. Umi'il katon ta'aselo imo, and his mother would make him. This again, the power of motherly love to Shmuel, the way that she created him, that she envisioned him, the way that she gave him is so brought out so beautifully by this story, that she created for him a small little me'il that she would bring every year when she would come to visit. She would come together with her husband to bring now the korbanos that she needed to bring on the mitzvah of Simchas HaRegel. And she would bring a little coat. Chazal point out, that's such a beautiful thing, that when Shmuel was brought up from the dead by Shaul, and so he asks the woman, "Who? I saw a guy coming up wearing a coat. It was that coat." So as the Chazal say, that last coat that she made for him grew with him throughout his entire life. He died with that, was buried with that. It comes in Tehillim Ha'avot. Because it defines his entire nature, is the connection that he had to his mother. So again, that's the, we've talked about Shekamti Devorah, Shekamti Eim B'Yisrael. Here, Hannah does that in terms of her vision of her child who becomes now the Makor of Malchus in Yisrael.
She only sees it these times. It's still
four
times
a year. She only sees, yeah. But she didn't come up, and she only comes up for the Zevach HaYomim. She doesn't come up for his neder. Uveirach Eli et Elkanah v'et Ishto, and Eli blessed them. Ve'amar Yasem Adonai lecha zera min ha'isha hazot. May God give you other children. Tachat ha'sheila asher sha'al Adonai. So take the place of the child that she gave here that has been so blessed. And they would go home. She had an additional three sons and two girls. And Shmuel continued to grow, again the contrast, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as opposed to B'nai Eli. Shmuel constantly grew under the Hashpah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, directly as a Mesharis to Eli. We're going to see to what extent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence had come to him through Eli. But meanwhile, the Eli Zakin Ma'od. Eli now is very old. And Chazal say, one of the things that makes a person old, which we learned from Eli, we talked about Yoshua, Mechama making Yoshua old. One of the things that make people old are tzaras with children. And that's exactly what we learn out of Eli. Eli Zakin Ma'od, that's the Zakin Ma'od of his children. V'shamat kol asher yasun banav l'chol Yisrael. He heard all of this. People were talking about it. V'et asher yishkevun et anashim hatzovot petach ol moed. And the way in which, now the simple meaning seems to be saying, the way in which his children would sleep with the women who were gathered around the petach ol moed. Now, what they were doing gathered around the petach ol moed isn't clear. Maybe they were coming to bring korbanos. Maybe they were like chassidim, chassidot, that would sit there all day, like the Eben Ezra points out. The mirrors that can be anashim at sovot. They're always sovot. It's the same language that's used. So that it appears from the simple meaning the pasuk that his children would actually sleep with the married women that were there. This points out the Gemara doesn't make any sense because when he yells at them, he doesn't yell about that. He yells about bizoyon kachin. I mean, it doesn't make any sense that he would talk to them about bizoyon kachin. I mean, if they're actually sleeping with people's wives, then it's crazy. And this is, you know, one thing's got to be stopped on the spot, the other. So therefore, says the Yerushalmi, the way to understand it is not yishkivun, but yashkivun. So what happens is the nashim hatzovot are women that need to bring their karbanos yoledes, so their mechuyav is to be there, and they need to become tahira. And he delays them. So they end up needing to sleep over Yashkivu. So they need to have a hotel near the Mishkan of Shiloh because of Pinchas and Elu maybe had some shares in it. Yeah. And so, but because of that, they were monea, these women, from sleeping with their husbands. And the mela was as if they had slept with them. So basically the meaning, it's a very powerful idea. Because essentially the Torah never speaks in metaphor. It speaks in reality that in English sounds like metaphor. In other words, the Torah says that they slept with the women, it's because they did. But it just doesn't mean that they physically slept with the women. That's not a metaphor. Because what it means is that what happened was essentially a sexual event. The idea of controlling a married woman's ability to be with her husband and not be with her husband is a sexual thrill. And therefore, the Torah goes to the makor of it. You want to control women? That's what you like? This is what we write about you. You sleep with them. Because for all intents and purposes, same thing. I don't care how you get your thrills. But the point is, this is what you are. And so, Mamela, we merame as to what's really happening on a physical level. But more importantly, is what's happening inside the person's own psychology and heart. And therefore, on that level, they're yishkivun et
anashim.
Yeah, and, well, I mean, it's a subconscious kind of, it's like the, you know, the principal of school that goes around measuring the girl's skirts, you know. Of course there's nothing sexual, but everybody lives, it's nauseating. And it's, there's this sense of the inappropriateness of attempting to control another person's sexuality. Always the people that are, of course, always in charge of other people's sexuality. They know what's going on in your bedroom and so on. So there's this voyeurism and this thrill that people get that are in charge of women. That they get a charge out of being in charge. So the mela we talk about is if it's actual shchiva. So he calls it his sons vayomer lahem lamatasun chadvarim ha'ela asher anochi shomea divrechem ra'im miyit kol ha'am ha'ela. And from here we learn not that you're not supposed to say where you heard something. In other words, so I'm just hearing bad things about you from everybody. I don't want to identify particular people. Al banai, please, my children. Rather gentle kind of tovacha over here for which he pays. I mean, this is the nation of God. I mean, if they feel that what they see in you is a bizayon of kachin, this is terrible. Don't give me any excuses, because the bottom line is this is what they see. This is what everybody understands. I mean, look, if you'd be doing something on a personal level, okay, you know, it could be brought to a court. Ufila lo Elohim. You go up to the court. The judge can work it out. Who's chayav? Vim ladunayev ta'ish. Mit palil. But who can take the place of your own need to do teshuvah? I can't daven for you. I can't judge you. Nobody can do anything for you. V'lo yishvu'u l'kol aviyem. But they didn't hear what their father was saying. Ki chafetz adunay la'amitam. God wanted them dead. So he asks the Medrash, what do you mean? But it says, Kiloach puts b'bot ha-meit. How can you say, here, God wanted him dead? So there's basically two approaches. One is that Kan Kerem Zardin, Kan Liachre Zardin. Then, of course, the way the Rambam understands it is that a person can be chayte to such an extent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mundane, he meant a teshuv. And that the derech of the din itself is that he, because of the depth of his initial choice, is mechuyev not to have the option to be able to be magen on himself with teshuvah. Now, the age of Eli at this point, according to the Medrash, is not all that old. He's basically only 98 years old. You know, we've seen people a lot older than that. When we say Eli zaken ma'od, it's viewed as mina keneged mina. Because of the fact that it says, v'tehi chatat ne'arim gedola ma'od, and you didn't do anything about it, all you did was talk to them nicely. Therefore, it's kedai that you should be zaken ma'od, lose all of your kefis to be able to deal with the right reality. A lot more than saying albana. I mean, he was the Kohen Gadol. He had the right to define who was going to be Eved. It could have been Ma'avirna. As a matter of fact, the halacha, it's amazing because we actually learn from here what the dinim are about a nasi that was sorach, whether you can fire him or not. It's good for the Gemara goes to Zbachlokas and how to learn what should be done from here. So do you just punish him and then let him back in? Is it meant that he was supposed to fire them? And so on. All of those dinim are linked to the sugya of Eli and his sons. We opened up the story with Eli's failure in being able to identify. That failure is not a personal issue between him and Chana. Right. I mean, the moment she said, Lo Adonata, he was fired. Right. If somebody in the Am can say, look, you clearly do not have Ruach HaKadosh anymore, so just get out of the way because you're the wrong guy. And he's now defending his position by saying, well, we got to get rid of the kid. I mean, you know, there's so much that's hidden between the lines in those words that we even expect this parak to be coming. I mean, the parak is spelling it out, you know, but it was right there up front. She challenged him. She said, you're no longer functional. And then he now becomes, indeed, Zakein Mo'od. He's not functional to the point that I'm unable to control what happens in the Mishkan Hashem. So this is a disaster. So again, the contrast to the Nar Shmuel. Nar Shmuel, Haleich, Holeich v'gadel v'tov. Exactly what he said, Lo Tov Hashem. Yeah. This is a beautiful contrast. Just a good point. Exactly. So here he's saying, my children, it's not good, but the Nar Shmuel is good. Gami Madonai, Gami Manashim, on every level, is anhaga ben Adam lechaveira, is anhaga between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was growing, Haleich Lagadel, growing consistently in a way towards greater and greater good. Vayavo Ish Elohim El Eli, and so a man of God, now Ish Elohim was used by Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It's not used by every Navi. There's only 10 cases where we find somebody called an Ish Elohim, and Chazal tell us that this is Elkanah himself. Which really closes the circle. So now it was Elkanah originally, who seems to be, you know, okay, he's in the background. His wife is handling the whole issue. It happens to be his son, but it's Chana's vision and so on. Lamaisa, Eli's promise and bracha to them, the way the Medrash understands them, is you should have no more children from anyone but from this Tzadekes. So now he was the one. The whole thing is so intertwined. He was the one that finalizes the relationship between Elkanah and the vision of Chana, and now in that Elkanah comes back, is sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell Eli that he's finished. So, Vayavo Ish Elohim El Eli, and this is a very, very bitter and difficult Nevi'ez. Vayomer Elav, and he tells Eli, Ko Amar Adonai. This now is an immense historical Nevi'ez that brings out what we spoke about in the opening, the way that Shevet Levi needs a bureau. Do you think that I just happened to show up casually to the house of your family, Aaron, when they were back in Mitzrayim, while they were still involved with the Beit Paro, and they were under the thumb of Paro, and I just happened to choose him? That's what you think, right? What was this? Say Chazal. It's amazing. We don't know what this was for centuries. It takes 900 years until Yechezkel ends up saying what it was that Nevi'ez was all about. I appeared. What did you say? What did you say while it was still Beit Paro? In what sense were you Bocher at that time? So there Yechezkel says, I came to Mitzrayim and I said, each you could say, Navachlichu, Ubegu Lele Mitzrayim Atitam U. And they were the ones who responded. It was a whole thing we don't even know about. So there was a massive interaction between the leaders of Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu early on in Mitzrayim that's not reported in the Chumash. We only find out about it in the days of Yechezkel. Here, the Navi is being meramis to it. You think we just happened to choose Aaron. That's what you think. And I was just happened to be Boicher on him as a coin. La'alotam Mizbechi, la'aktir ktoret, asei teifod v'fanai. He was the one that was going to be the one on the Mizbeach. He was the one that was going to be noset the Urim v'tumim. And just casually gave over to your family all of the rights to the Matnes Kuna from the Karbonas. What a chutzpah. Heaven sakes. I build myself a home. I mitzvah to bring those Karbonas in my home. And you kick at it as if it's meaningless. Give your children more honor than you give me. To allow them, anything that my nation brings, they're the ones that have to get first before the Mizbeach gets. Do you understand what a complete and total reversal that is of the entire vision that I had for the nature of the Kahuna? I tell you, you know what I used to think? Gee, I had all kinds of plans for you, Eli. I thought to myself, I was going to give you as a chus to the kuna gedola forever. Keter kuna gedola. Given to Eli. V'ata now, ne'uma adonai chas v'sholem. Chalil ali. What do you think? I'm a fool. That I would do things that are chulin, that are the opposite of the way God would act. Those who will honor me, I give honor. Those who treat me with booze, they will be treated cheaply themselves. The days are coming. I will uproot your arm and strength and that of your entire family. Never will there be an old man again in your family. You're the last. And you can peek out with all the jealousies and the pain of looking out on my home, the very ma'on that you were supposed to be taking care of, and watch while other kohanim are put in charge. And watch, b'chol asher yetiv et Yisrael, watch how good things are. Not one of you will have a piece of it. Oh, but I won't let them die too young. I want them to suffer. I want them to be there. I want them to see it. The ish lo achrit lecha me'im izbechi. You see, I won't cancel your kahuna. I want them to be sitting there. Lechalot et einecha v'ladiv et nafshecha. I want you to be miserable. I want your descendants to watch what it is to have the covet of the kohen gadol. What it is to have the covet that could have been yours. V'chol marbit beitcha yamutu anashim, and the lust of your house will die as young men. V'zelecha ot asher yavoh shnei vanecha chofniu pichas. And I give you a sign, because you think I'm talking about the distant future. So let me give you a sign in your day. V'yom echad yamutu shnei, and both of them will drop dead on the same day. V'akimoti li kohen ne'eman. I will make for myself a decent coin. Kasher bilvavi ubenafshi yaseh. I will make a coin the kind of man that I always wanted, the type of person that will be like Tzadok became the Kohen. And this is a reference to Bnei Tzadok. That's why we refer to Kohanim Alaviim Bnei Tzadok Asher Shamru et Mishmeret Mikdashi. That's exactly why. This is the Kohen Ne'eman. Asher Shamru. They are the ones. Kasher bilvavi ubenafshi yaseh ubaniti lo bayit Ne'eman. I will build for him a bayit ne'aman so that he will be the one who will be the yitalech lifnei mishichi kol hayamim. He will be the one to go in front of those that I make king all of the days. Vaya kol hanotar b'vetcha, whatever is left in your home, could come down to the guy that I like. Yavo lishtachavot lo, they'll beg you, they'll beg it down on hands and knees, to beg him to be allowed to have a little bit of the action, maybe to bring a carbon so that one day they could have something to eat. La gurata kesef, they can have a nickel and kikar lechem. V'yamar, and they'll say to him, please, sfacheni na'alachata kunan. Could you just sort of put us in maybe at the bottom of the list, one of them? Let us have something. Nechop patlak, and we're starving. Give us something to eat. Because whatever alien was able to be merged to the Doris goes in both directions. Now, this doesn't mean that it's an unavoidable curse. We find many of the Gedalia Chachamim and the Gemara were from Bnei Eli. So as the Gemara says, that what he's saying is, given what you've given them, this is the situation. They want to build themselves by doing Torah, by becoming Tamei Chachamim, by doing Baisa Chesed. Of course, Chas V'Shalom. It's not that every person can come and approach me. I'm talking about this is the raw inheritance. This is the raw inheritance that you've left them. I hope you're happy. Yeah. Additions. This idea of Chanas Shira as being Tefillah, we already saw before that the dinim of Tefillah are so linked to Chana that she is the one that is first really able to establish for us what Tefillah is. There's a remarkable medrash who goes through now the entire Tefillah of Chana and points out that it is the makar of the Shmoneh Esrei, according to the order of the Shmoneh Esrei. Beautifully. So Ramah Karni Vashem begins now with the beginning of the shine, that's Avram. Hashem me misu mechaya, that's mechaya metim. Ein kadosh ka Hashem, is a el kadosh. Kikel deot Hashem, is a tachonin ladon dad. Nichshalim ozru chayel, those who were nichshal in an avayim, that's a rotze b'tshuva. Morid sha'ol vayal, that's hamar belisloa, even on those that deserve hell. Samachti b'yishua secha, is baruch atah Hashem goel Yisrael. Mekim mi'afar dal, where somebody's already at the edge of the grave, is rofei cholim. Svein balechem, that's mevorech hashanim. Raglecha Chasidav Yishmor is Mekabetz Nivtei Amo Yisrael, now those who kept the Amunah. Hashem Yadin Avseyoretz Ohev Tzedakah U'Mishpat. It's absolutely stunning. Rishaim B'choshech Yidamu Machnia Zedim. It even includes the Yud Tes Brachas, right? Yitein Oz L'malko, that's Bonei Yerushalayim. Vayorem Keren Mishicho is Eschem Avdovin. Ein Sur Keloheinu, that's Shomea Tvilah, in which everything that you ask through me can do. Al Tarbu de Dabru, that's the Otchal of Atcha B'Yirah Na'avot, which is the Gedder of Yirah that we usually say in terms of just Ritzei. Yatzei Atak Mipichem, Lechana Elohodot, Vayitein Oz Lemalko, that's the Oz Hashol, Areshmone Esrei Brachot, Yitpalala. Absolutely stunning.